From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some beautiful sacred music.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 39 and verse 12. I am a stranger with thee. Yes, O Lord, with thee, but not to thee. All my natural alienation from thee, thy grace has effectually removed. And now, in fellowship with thyself, I walk through this sinful world as a pilgrim in a foreign country. Thou art a stranger in thine own world. Man forgets thee, dishonors thee, sets up new laws and alien customs, and knows thee not. When thy own dear son came unto his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Never was foreigner so speckled a bird among the denizens of any land as thy beloved son among his mother's brethren. It is no marvel, then, if I, who live the life of Jesus, should be unknown and a stranger here below. Lord, I would not be a citizen where Jesus was an alien. His pierced hand has loosened the cords which once bound my soul to earth, and now I find myself a stranger in the land. My speech seems to these Babylonians among whom I dwell an outlandish tongue. My manners are singular, and my actions are strange. A Tartar would be more at home in Cheapside than I could ever be in the haunts of sinners. But here is the sweetness of my lot. I am a stranger with thee. Thou art my fellow sufferer, my fellow pilgrim. Oh, what a joy to wander in such blessed society! My heart burns within me by the way when thou dost speak to me. And though I be a sojourner, I am far more blessed than those who sit on thrones, and far more at home than those who dwell in their sealed houses. To me remains nor place nor time. My country is in every clime. I can be calm and free from care on any shore, since God is there. While place we seek or place we shun, the soul finds happiness in none. But with a God to guide our way, 'tis equal joy to go or stay.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call while God is near. God abundantly will pardon those who turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. God will have
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies of the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of these messages, he's presenting a biographical sketch of each of the apostles. Today, he comes to Philip. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns takes some time to distinguish between this apostle and Philip the deacon, also known as Philip the evangelist. Interestingly, more scripture references are devoted to the deacon than to the apostle. A very practical man, Philip the apostle seems to have had difficulty believing spiritual truth unless he could see it. Yet, as we'll see, the Lord Jesus called him to be one of his disciples. Here's a message of great encouragement that the Lord can use very ordinary people. Now here is Dr. Cairns to bring the opening portion of a message called Philip, Limited but Loyal.
We're turning this evening to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 1, as we continue to think on the general theme of the 12 apostles. We have a very brief Bible reading tonight, verse 43 to verse 46 of John's Gospel, chapter 1. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these few verses from his own precious word for his name's sake. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. There are two great men of God in the New Testament bearing the name Philip. Throughout the Gospels, and with one mention in Acts chapter 1, we have Philip the Apostle. In the remainder of the book of Acts, in chapter 6, chapter 8, and verse 21, or chapter 21, we have Philip the Evangelist, the man who saw a great revival in Samaria, and then was called away by the Holy Spirit to deal with the Ethiopian eunuch. That Philip had, if you remember, four daughters who also prophesied. Now, from very early times, preachers, including some supposedly, and I would have to say in reality as well, very great and very able preachers, tended to mix up these two Philips so that with the passage of time, in some way or other, they sort of got welded together so that you had a sort of a composite character that was neither one or the other. The result of which was that a tremendous lot of mythology grew up around the name of Philip. However, when you turn to the scripture, you find that the Holy Spirit is very careful in describing them, and these two men are entirely distinct. One was a member of the original 12 disciples. The other was a member of the seven, usually looked on as deacons, who were elected to serve tables in Acts chapter 6. We are told specifically that the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, would not serve tables. So Philip the apostle was not a server of tables, whereas Philip the evangelist was chosen for that very purpose. So we will be taking only into account the things that we read through the Gospels. And if you have been thinking of any other Philip or any of the things that are said about Philip, don't be disappointed that we're not dealing with those tonight. We are dealing specifically and only with Philip the apostle. It appears strange, right on the surface of things, that Philip should be an apostle of Jesus Christ, a higher office, undoubtedly, than the other Philip, who was the evangelist, a deacon, certainly a great preacher, but not among the apostles. And yet the work of Philip the apostle does not gain even a fraction of the attention in the inspired record that the work of Philip the evangelist does. The fact is that we're given very few biographical details about this particular apostle. We can run through the list fairly simply. He was a Galilean from the city of Bethsaida. He was very evidently a friend of Andrew, probably therefore of Peter, James, and John. Like those men, And like various others in the city of Bethsaida, he had been stirred to seek after spiritual things, and particularly to attend upon the ministry of John the Baptist. We gather from Luke 2, verse 38, that in those days there were many in Israel who looked for redemption, and Philip was undoubtedly one of those people. He traveled from Judea down, or from Galilee down into Judea, on the specific errand of listening to John the Baptist, of responding to the message of that great forerunner of the Savior. And having heard him, he made his way home, or at least he began the journey. And it was at that point that we are told Jesus found him. And he said, "Follow me." Now, we're not given any details of the interview between the Lord Jesus Christ and Philip. But whatever was said and whatever was done by the grace of God, that was a day when Philip's life was changed. He became a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and very quickly was admitted to the 12 whom the Lord Jesus named apostles. The first thing he did when he got saved, and I say he got saved because I think that there is no way of understanding his experience with Christ when we are specifically told the Lord Jesus found him. There's no other way we can understand it other than a salvation experience. The first thing he did after his conversion to Christ was to go and find his friend Nathanael and bring him to the Lord Jesus. So his career as a Christian got off to a very wonderful and very successful start. The years that passed, that followed, were passed over by the Spirit of God in almost total silence. We can certainly presume that Philip shared the general experiences of the apostles, all their successes and all their failures. There are only three distinct notices of Philip in the gospel narratives. In fact, you'll read through what are called the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you'll find really nothing particularly personal or individual about Philip. It's in the gospel of John that we have an opening up of the record about this man. In John chapter 6, we read specifically of Philip's involvement at the feeding of the 5,000, when the Lord Jesus turned to Philip and he said, "Whence shall we buy bread to feed this crowd?" And immediately Philip had the answer. He said, 200 pennyworth of bread would not be sufficient to feed this great number of people. The Lord Jesus, we are told, did this to prove him. Thereby we can say this is recorded so that we may look into it, because this is meant to open up to us something of the inner man in Philip. He had it all calculated out. The Lord Jesus knew what he was going to do, but Philip was thinking only at that time how much bread we'd have to buy. Then a little later in John chapter 12, we have the incident where the Greeks came up to the feast at Jerusalem, and they said to Philip, "We would see Jesus. We would see Jesus." Philip took them to Andrew, and Andrew, with possibly Philip along, took them to Jesus. And then the final mention of Philip in the Gospels is in chapter 14. You remember the Lord Jesus answered Thomas, who said, "We know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way?" And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then he made this wonderful statement, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father, and it's enough. Now that's the total information in Philip. And yet, from those brief notices, I think you can begin to construct a picture of this man. I say construct a picture because if you want to paint it, you'll need an artist, and I am not an artist. Taking all that is said here of Philip, I think we can say, here we're dealing with a man that's a very down-to-earth character. In many ways, a man of business. A man who could always be depended upon to count the cost of a venture in financial terms. He was not the type of character who would be quickly swept off his feet. He was certainly a man with a clear head. And there is an emphasis in the few bits of information that we have, an emphasis that to Philip, seeing was believing. He was certainly no mystic. There is evidence here that Philip had a real difficulty, I think probably more even than the other disciples, but he had a real difficulty in grasping spiritual truth if he couldn't have it presented to him in concrete terms. In addition to that, since we find him bringing the Greeks to Andrew instead of to Christ, when that's what they had asked, we could say that there's probably also a strain of diffidence. You might better say humility in Philip. He recognized in Andrew a man that he reckoned to be closer to the Lord than he was. And so he brought them to Andrew and then on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at Philip, you're really looking at a man with whom every one of us can very easily identify. There's always a great danger when you study the characters of Scripture to be so overwhelmed by the greatness of the character that you say, well, isn't it a pity I can't be like that? Well, Philip was no Peter with all his boldness and inbred leadership ability. Philip was no James with his flaming intensity and strong confidence. Philip was no John. He did not possess the deep theological mind and insight and intuition that John possessed. And he certainly couldn't measure up to Andrew, his friend, in either faith or assurance. In other words, Philip was a very ordinary man. And the evidence is that he recognized it. He felt it. And being humble, he was not too proud to admit it. A very ordinary man to whom and through whom the Lord did some extraordinary things. And I think you know that when you come to think upon the life of Philip, that is the overriding message and lesson that every one of us should lay hold of. A message for ordinary people. A message for people who are not among the greats of the church. A message for people who will never become giants in the estimation of others. They are just ordinary people. They feel their ordinariness. But yet the message is, God our Savior can take the very ordinary people and he can do extraordinary things in them and through them. And so tonight, very simply and very briefly, I want to talk to you about Philip, limited but loyal. There's not an easier way for me to sum up the whole character of this man, limited but loyal.
You You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.